Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling, Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. A lot of excitement over at Michigan State University the last few days, and they were expecting it would involve a tailgate party, and Spartan sagas, and a night football game against Notre Dame. There have been a lot of exciting Michigan State-Notre Dame games, but I don't recall one more exciting or dramatic than that one. And then, of course, with the news that Mark D'Antonio had suffered a minor heart attack, that really intensified the attention from a nationwide perspective. D'Antonio released from Sparrow Hospital today, and he is resting comfortably at home. We want to welcome in Dan Kilbridge, my partner at SpartanTailgate.com. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Jack. How's it going?
Well, just fine. What did we learn this morning at the press conference at Spartan Stadium?
Well, I think, for one, you know, we learned that Don Treadwell knows how to handle himself as a man in charge. Talking to him, he's always seemed like a very detail-oriented guy who really knows how to handle a leadership role. And I think just with the poise and the way he carried himself up at the podium, which is something he's not used to, I think we learned that he's definitely suited to handle this role. And I also think, you know, we learned that it is good news that D'Antonio was released today. And I think, you know, that's pretty much the best thing you can hope for at this point in time.
All right, I'm going to spin this in a direction that maybe some people have not. And I'm looking at this as a win-win situation for a couple of reasons. Obviously, the attention that was drawn to Michigan State University and the football program, other than the number of people who were arrested with high blood alcohol levels Saturday night, could not have been more positive. But when you look at the situation thereafter and the community rallying together, the support of the university, the love for Mark D'Antonio, the warning that is there for all of us in terms of nutrition, in terms of exercise. Believe me, I've looked in the mirror a couple times over the last 48 hours. And I would think that this can be a very positive thing for mid-Michigan, for the Michigan State community, and for Mark D'Antonio, who might have been in a position not to be so fortunate, as we've seen with Randy Walker and Dave McClain and a number of other coaches, and former Michigan State basketball coach John Bennington, who was also found when it was a little too late.
Right. I mean, I think you're exactly right that, you know, it's a shame that it takes something like this to cause awareness and maybe get, you know, a togetherness from the university. But I think that's ultimately what happened here. We saw, you know, the fact that D'Antonio's heart damage was minimal was due in part to the fact that he got to the hospital so quickly. And I think that's just a good warning sign to everyone. To, you know, if you're uncertain about something with your heart, it's definitely better to err on the side of caution and, you know, go get it checked out. So I think that's an important reminder. And like you said, this is something where the university will band together in support of Coach D'Antonio and the Spartans. And it turned out, you know, it sounds like about as well as things could have turned out, all things considered.
With the stent implanted, he spent a little bit of time in the hospital, and here he is 2 days later. He is home and resting comfortably, we understand. The prognosis, very good for a complete recovery, and it might be a little quicker recovery in some ways in terms of limited participation than some people think. We know that he will not be coaching this week against Northern Colorado, but after that, people will wait and see, and would not surprise me at all if he had some sort of a role and for the Big Ten opener against Wisconsin.
About whether or not he'll actually be coaching on the sideline during that game or maybe up in the booth,
right,
handing some other duties. You know, that's something that they'll iron out at a later date. But I think, right, you know, it does sound possible that he will be involved in some way against Wisconsin. Certainly, you would think he would want to be around for the Michigan game and on the sideline, you know, the week after the Wisconsin game, which is 2 weeks from this Saturday. So I think we're going to see, you know, a test in patience for D'Antonio, who I know is just anxious to get back, even though this only happened a few short days ago. I'm sure it seems like an eternity for him to be away from this football program. And I think that, you know, once he's cleared to begin resuming his daily activities, he'll want to jump back into those as quickly as possible.
Our guest, Dan Kilbridge of SpartanTailgate.com, doing terrific work, and invite you all to check out that website. And you'll get regular updates on Michigan State. We do three video presentations a week. Dan is all over the beat of Michigan State football and basketball. We have weekly columns and questions and question-answer sessions that I do. And then, of course, the best in recruiting coverage, I think you'll also find there. But I want to talk to you a little bit about another story that's in the news today. And that involves Michigan State sophomore tight end Deion Sims. He is suspended from team-related activities implicated in a scheme to steal and sell Detroit Public School computers. We had not seen Deion Sims on the field, and some people said, you know, he's running pretty well, doesn't seem to be hurt. I think now it is very clear what has happened, that the indictments have come down.
Right, and as if there wasn't enough action around Michigan State this weekend already, you know, we have this situation piled on top, and it's just, you know, they're all, he has been charged, you know, these are all allegations, there's nothing, he has not been sentenced or anything like that yet, so we'll wait and see there, but it certainly doesn't sound like something that you want to be involved in any way, shape, or form, no matter how minimal your involvement may be. We'll have to wait and see if any disciplinary issues come from this, but just to, the sensationalism, I think, is there because when you hear stolen laptops from the Detroit public schools, a school system that is already hurting so much, it just, you kind of shake your head and wonder what kind of a person could do something like that. But we'll let this play out, and I'm sure this will be something for us to keep our eye on here for a while, with Sims suspended indefinitely right now.
There are 10 people implicated in this scheme. And there are two, apparently, are the masterminds, and others facing single counts of receiving and concealing stolen property. That is a potential 5-year felony. Sims is in that group. But of the 10, including the ringleaders, guess whose picture is plastered all over the websites?
I'm going to be guessing that it's the one who played football for Michigan State last season.
And, of course, it is body shot of him wearing number 80 with the new Michigan State logo. So, you know, that kind of goes with the territory. And in some ways, you see that athletes, you know, they get a lot of praise, they get a lot of fame, they get a lot of notoriety, they get a lot of love. But in other cases, when they are involved in wrongdoing or the implication of wrongdoing, let's be very clear about that, they are the ones whose names are known and front and center. They're going to be in the headlines.
Yeah, and, you know, the college kids will make mistakes, obviously, but this is much more serious than just an underage drinking ticket or something like that. You know, it's just something that kind of is hard to wrap your head around, that a guy could get caught up in that when he's, you know, at Michigan State University and on scholarship. But, you know, we don't know what's going on in these kids' lives outside of football, and I think sometimes it's hard for people to kind of grasp, you know, where some of these kids come from and, you know, the different circumstances they're dealt, which doesn't excuse the behavior by any means.
Right.
But I think, you know, it is important to keep in mind that we really don't know a whole lot about these kids or where they come from, even though, you know, we may think we know someone from watching them play football every Saturday.
And a lot of times the coaches don't either. Now, their contacts are limited with these players. Tom Izzo has complained loud and long the fact that he cannot have as much interaction with these kids as he has wanted to, as he used to. And, you know, you can have someone who is charged with minor in possession. As you say, that's very different than being a minor in possession of stolen goods from the Detroit Public Schools.
Exactly. And, you know, it's hard to point fingers. You don't want to say this is an implication of a coaching staff or a culture, because it's really not. I mean, it's one kid who's, you know, really, really screwing up. And it's something where, as you mentioned, you know, these coaches can only do so much. They've got 100 guys to monitor, and you try to get to know each and every one of them, you know, as well as you can. And obviously the coaching staff had much more interaction with Deion Sims than I did.
Right.
But when I talked to him last year, and, you know, during both football and basketball season, seemed like a perfectly well-mannered young man. And, you know, so that was surprising to me. I never got, you know, the impression that this is a kid who could get caught up in something like that.
Well, he had a very brief appearance for the MSU basketball team last winter, but Director of Athletics Mark Hollis said today in a statement, during his indefinite suspension, Deion will continue to have access to to all the available resources in the Clarabelle Smith Student Athlete Academic Center, meaning basically that they are not giving up on him and throwing him to the wolves academically. We will allow the legal process to play out before we make any final decision regarding his future status with the team, which seems to be a pretty responsible way to handle this. So I just want to remind everyone that you can hear Dan on SpartanTailgate.com every Tuesday, Friday, and postgame as we do our reports from Michigan State football and basketball. You can read his coverage of Michigan State every day at SpartanTailgate.com. And Dan, enjoyed working with you, and we'll have a lot to talk about with the Northern Colorado game. Kind of a sneaky, dangerous team coming into Spartan Stadium.
Yeah, they certainly are. So we'll see what happens Saturday. And I think you said it all regarding Spartan Tailgate. I've really enjoyed working with you as well, and thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Anytime a team averages more than 45 points and has 8 fumble recoveries in 3 games, you can't just show up. You have to actually play football. We will be back, and we're going to talk with Bernie Porn of Epic MRA about the latest numbers in statewide polling coming up next on Ebling & You.